Good to be in the house of the Lord tonight. We got in here a little bit ago. Brother Keith was playing, and I was late for a meeting. We got to singing, and brings back memories. It's a whole lot easier to sing when you don't have to play, because I don't play that good. But I'm glad to be in the house of the Lord tonight. It's good to see everybody here. If you got your Bibles, we're going to read in the book of James, chapter number 4. And then we're going to go over to another place and look. We got several different scriptures tonight, honestly. This is kind of one of those messages or that lessons that's just got a lot of scripture. And what I want to talk about tonight is making plans. You know, we all have plans that we make, and I'm going to switch to this one when I get it turned on. We all have plans, and the question is, plans God's way, or are we making our plans our way? You know, I can remember one time, and I was actually thinking about it this past week. I got a job offer, and it came in a set of drawings. The guy didn't call and offer me a job. He just typed up the proposal, and he rolled it up in a set of plans, and he sent the plans to me. And when I rolled the drawings out, everything was in there, and it was outlined. And it had the salary in there, and it had the truck allowance in there, and it had the potential bonus in there, and it was more than twice what I was making. And I began to look at it, and I began to think about it, and I was going to have to move my family to Virginia. And now it was in the country. I like the country, okay? And I was already thinking about that, and I was already imagining, I wonder how big the deer are in Virginia. But you know what I really did is I started praying. And I started seeking God's will, because sometimes we get in trouble. We get in trouble when we start trying to do things our way and not God's way. And here's something I've got here. Sometimes when we're making plans, are we making them our way or God's way? And here's a question. What is failure? What is failure? And I want to tell you what I think failure is as it relates to this message. Is failure is succeeding at the wrong thing. Now think about that for just a minute. There are people right now that are failing because they're not fulfilling the will of God for their lives. And I heard a story about a year ago, and it really just stuck out in my heart and my mind. I want to share it with you before I read this scripture. But it was a man who was called to be a missionary in China. Now, when I hear people and talk to people that are called to the mission field, their passion inspires me. But you know, anything you do, you want to make sure that God's sending you. I was in a Sunday school class one time, a very large Sunday school class. I wasn't teaching the class. I was sitting in the class. And there was a man that came who was a missionary. And he wanted to speak to the class about the mission field. And he made this statement. Now, I disagree with it. And that's why I'm sharing it with you. He said, I feel like everybody and he was talking about in this class, and there's probably 100 people in there. He said, everybody in this class should surrender to the mission field. And I thought, not if they're not called. Because if you're not called and you go somewhere where you're not called, it's liable to cost you. Because you're going without God's hand on what you're doing. But when I meet somebody that is called, and they go and they have God's call in their life, God provides exactly what they need. Now, I heard a man, he was called to go to be a missionary in China, and he felt called, and he learned the Mandarin language. Difficult language to learn. When I see their writing, it's not like the language of Spanish. I mean, they use the same alphabet we do. But when you look at this Chinese alphabet, it's not the same. He said he mastered the language so much so that he was well known for his mastery of the language. And there was a company that had a business in China, and they needed an interpreter, and they offered him a job. And this is years ago. They offered him a job, and it was in the six-figure range, and he said he wouldn't take it. They came back and doubled it. He still wouldn't take it. They doubled it again, and he still wouldn't take it. Now, I want to tell you, he's not going to make any money as a missionary. They finally got to the point that they said, okay, we'll give you $1 million. Can I tell you, $1 million is a grain of salt in a salt shaker to a major oil company. $1 million is a grain of salt to a Fortune 500 company, one of the top, if you're into the top five companies that are into even building industry in the world. They offered him $1 million salary just to be an interpreter, and here's what he said. He said, "Your salary is big, but your job is too small." And sometimes we have to be careful that we don't fail by succeeding at the wrong thing. Now, I want to read scripture out of James chapter number 4, beginning in verse number 13. And basically, this is what this is talking about. The subtitle in my Bible is Unchristian Conduct, but I want you to listen to the reading of God's Word. It says, "Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year, and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now ye rejoice in your boastings, and all such rejoicing is evil. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is vain." Now, I want to share with you tonight three major mistakes that are often made when people make plans. And the first one is to beware of self-centered planning. Now, if you go back and look at this 13th verse, this man, he had a plan for his future. Said, "I'm going to go into a city, I'm going to continue there a year, and I'm going to buy, and I'm going to sell, and I'm going to get gain." Here's what we need to understand looking at this man. He planned the period of time. He had it already laid out in his mind. He planned the places he would go. He planned the procedure, and he planned the profits. He's already got it lined up. But here's the point. And this is sometimes I type a lot of emails at work. I've got to the point that I do not like typing emails that say "I." Sometimes I'll even be responding about myself, but I say "we." And I've even tried to come up with a way to word things to where I don't say "I," because I want to tell you something. Nothing's about me. But if you look at this, "I will, I will, I will." And what you have to be careful of when you're making plans, that you don't make self-centered plans. What difference does it make if I make plans for my future and what I'm going to do if it's all centered around me and God is not at the forefront? You see, the worst thing that I could have done in my life is to take a job because I'm going to make more money and try to go on what I think is right and be out of God's will because I'm not walking in the path He wants me to walk in. Excuse me, not used to singing. Here's the biggest concern that I would have. You see, I began to pray when I was going through this, and I was at a period of in my career that I was getting a lot of job offers. I had one to go to Florida. I had one to go to Texas. You know, but my little girl, she was at a very impressionable age at that time. And I began to look at my family. I looked at my daughter. And at that time, even Matthew wasn't even born. I think we were talking about having another child. But you know what I began to think about? What if I, in my own self, go somewhere to where I'm not around people of God? Where I don't have a church family. Where I can't find, you know, there's a lot of people move. They can't find a place to go. There's not, you know, I've heard them say, there's not a church like my home church. There's not a place that I can go that's like my home church. And a lot of times people, they move, and because they can't make a connection, they end up not in church. And I begin to think about having a daughter that might grow up, and who would she marry? What kind of church home would we have? That was just more important to me than even the other things that I could accomplish. See, because I honestly believe that the greatest ministry that any person has is the ministry inside the doors of their own home. You know, I enjoy coming down here. I enjoy church here. I love this church. I love it when I come in like we did last Wednesday night, and I really didn't have to do anything but sit there back there and smile. This, now I'll tell you, not that I mind doing it, but here's honestly, I hope y'all understand this. But I come in here Wednesday night and I honestly felt like a proud papa. I sat right back here and I looked up here at 35 young people singing for the Lord, and I want to tell you, they are getting good. They sing together when they sing choir songs, and I saw people, young people get up and sing solos and sing songs as, at a group, and how God's moving and how God moved during the altar call in this church. And I just sat back there and I just ate that up. There's no ministry that's more important than the ministry in your own home. And I've even heard people talk about how that they're following God and even have failures in their home because they forget about their own kids and they try to justify it. I will, it's like this, I will, I will, I will. See, this man, he planned what he was going to do, but the question is, did he plan it seeking God's will? See, when you're making plans, the first thing you want to do is listen very closely for the direction that comes from God. Because the Bible does not discourage planning. The problem with most plans is that people leave God out of them and they do not seek God's will for their lives. I had a conversation with somebody at work this week, and we were talking about trying to find help, and I said, how many people do you really think come into an aluminum business and they think, I am looking forward to an exciting career, so I'm going to go to work for an aluminum company, or a brick company, or a company that sells wood. The truth is, they're looking for a job, and they're just glad when they find something that works. But sometimes whatever we're doing, whatever our work is, it's not menial. The Bible says, all that you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord. If you do everything, you do for His honor and for His glory. But the question is, are we listening for Him and seeking to do it for His honor and glory? And I'm going to give you some scriptures that came to my heart as I was studying this. Psalms chapter number 32 and verse number 8. The scripture says, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go, and I will guide thee with mine eye. Then over in Isaiah chapter number 30 and verse number 21, the scripture says, and this was the verse, by the way, it was the theme verse from our Bible school. It says, and thine ears shall hear a word behind thee, saying, this is the way, walk ye in it, when you turn to the right hand and when you turn to the left. John 16 and verse 13 says, howbeit when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth. For He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He will show you things to come. And then Romans 8, 14, kind of something that brings it all together, says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Now here's kind of where it's at with me in my life. I thank God that I've got a good job. He blessed me to be able to do it. I'm not doing it because of anything in me. Never would have thought when I was living at home and I was 21 years old when I met my wife. And I was miserable because I thought that I was a hermit. I thought, I'm 21, life is passing me by. And I thought, I'm not engaged, I'm not married, I'm 21 years old. Where are you, God? Because the truth is, in my heart, all I wanted to do was serve the Lord. I wanted a Christian wife. I did not want to date a bunch of girls. I did not want a bunch of girls. I wanted somebody that would go to church with me. I wanted somebody that would serve God with me. And when I was living at home at 21 years old and I looked at what my mom and dad had, we lived up in LJ and they had a double-wide trailer on 3 acres, and I could remember one day I was working in Douglasville, driving 80 miles one way to work. My girlfriend lived in Kendra, right here. She lived in Douglasville. And I can remember looking, going out in the yard and looking, and you know what I thought at my heart and my life at that time? I said, I will never have what my parents have. See, I was making $8 an hour driving 80 miles one way. And when me and her got married, I had a truck literally that burned more oil than it burnt gas. The county wanted to hire me to kill mosquitoes, and I didn't have time. But I can remember having those thoughts. I thought, I'll never have what my parents have. And I didn't know where my life was going, but one thing I knew is wherever it went, I wanted it to go with God. And I've come through, you know, work is work. But when I look at this scripture and I'm looking at my life and I'm trying to plan a direction and a path, where's God? Because right now, trying to raise children, I want my children to be more than I am. I want them to follow God more than I've followed Him. I want them to be closer to God than I've been. But when we pray that way, are we really praying and seeking God? Because sometimes when God begins to move in our children's lives and He's moving in a miraculous way, you know what the truth is? It scares us. It scares us if we think that God has His hand on them and God's doing something in them. But what we have to do, we have to learn how to make plans and follow God's will and God's way so that they'll learn from us. See, there was honestly a time in my life, I didn't know if I'd ever pastor again, but I thought maybe one of my boys will. Maybe my whole job for the rest of my life is to walk with God and follow God so that they can be prepared to do it. When I look at this scripture, it says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. See, when I'm making plans, God's way or my way, it's easy to follow our way. But sometimes when we're going God's way, we may not have a salary with big figures. We may not have our name in lights, and we may never win the acclaim of the world. But when we stand before God and we're receiving the rewards that really matter, which are the ones that He passes out, we'll realize that this life is a vapor. That's why the things that I think we do here at this church, sometimes even though it may not seem like we have the help, it may not seem like that we're being recognized, what you do for God, it matters. Another thing that we need to understand is that God has a plan for every area of your life. Every area. I believe God has a plan for the rest of my life. I especially believe God has a plan for this church. I believe God has a plan for every young person here, and He wants to do great things in their lives. But if I'm going to hear and be able to come into a point that I can hear from God, then the truth is, I need to be able to come into His presence with clean hands. In order for me to hear, there's three things here. One is confession, the other is consecration, and the other is concentration. But here's what confession is. Confession is coming clean with God. It's not about me. I'm unimportant. But coming clean with God means you take everything and you lay it at His feet. And by the way, I want to remind you that God knows everything already. All God's looking for is for us to agree with Him and come into His presence and seek His help. You see, if you have failed, confess. If you are scared, tell Him. Can I tell you, there's a lot of times I'm scared. There's a lot of times I don't know what to do. Every morning when I get up and I prepare to go to work and I mentally prepare myself for that drive and I'm planning to go down there and I look on my phone a while ago, I had 422 emails waiting on me in the morning. Sometimes I'm scared. Sometimes things happen and all I can do is look for God. But if I want God to hear me, this is what the Bible says. Psalm 66 and verse 18 says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. 1 John chapter 1 verse 5 and number 6 and number 9 says, this then is the message which we have heard of Him and declare unto you, that God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if go down to verse 9, it says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Then you go down, I got a verse here in Ezekiel chapter number 14 and verse number 3. And it says, Son of man, these men have set up idols in their heart and have put the stumbling block of their iniquity before their face. Should I be inquired of them at all by them? And here's the thing to understand. God can give us direction. And I've mentioned it before. You know, I wish God had sent me a text or a letter, all those things. But one thing I found is if I want to hear God's voice, I need to accept and heed God's voice. So if I want God to show me what to do tomorrow, I need to walk with God today. You know, I wish that sometimes I wish it would be easier just to know exactly what to do. But one thing I've found is if I want to hear Him, I got to listen to Him. You know, and I'm sure we've all experienced this, and times we go down and we pray with somebody seeking God's will, and I've done this before, and you look at them, they already know. How many times do you really start seeking God and you're praying and you're troubled, but the truth is you already know. You already know what the Holy Spirit's speaking to you, but you got to get rid of all these things and lay them aside. Confess to the Lord. Confess when you failed. Confess when you're scared. Confess when you don't know what to do. And confess, sometimes, Lord, I'm just not willing. But if we want God to move, we have to get willing. And we have to get right. And then there's consecration. The question sometimes, and I've dealt with this in my own life, do I really want to know the will of God? Or do I really just want God to help me with my plans? See, a lot of times I've had people come and it's almost like this. They want you to pray about fill in the blank. Because what they want is God to help them with their plans. But maybe God has different plans. And when we come and we're seeking God's will, what consecration is laying aside our plans and taking up God's plans. In Proverbs chapter 3 and verse number 6, the scripture says, In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. See, God can be part of your life, and if you're saved, He is part of your life, but He'll never be in the proper place until He is first and Lord of your life. Because you can make plans and you can seek God's help, you can pray for God's help, and you can go through your life wondering why things aren't working exactly the way that they need to work, or you can lay your plans down and try to look for God's will and go through your life at peace with God. Filled with the Holy Spirit, knowing because of what you feel inside that you're where God wants you to be. Then there's concentration. That's listening to God. I want to tell you, if you've never prayed yourself to sleep, you're missing something. I mean, I heard a lady, a mature lady in a church, one time shared this with me. She said, you've got to get to the point that you can listen to God. You know, there are people who can't go to sleep without the TV on, without the radio on. I got the TV on, but the sound's on 9. Wait a minute. But here's the point. If you've always got so much noise in your life, whether it be TV, radio, outside influences, it's like when you have a problem, what do people do? Pick up that phone. They call, they got to get somebody's opinion, they got to share it with somebody, and they got to get, if they get two or three people agreeing, that's what they're going to do. But what about listening to God? See, I've heard that three things make a minister: prayer, suffering, and meditation. If you don't ever get to the point that you're slowed down enough that you're doing nothing but listening to God, you may not ever hear exactly what God has to say to you. So beware of self-centered planning. Number two, beware of self-confident presumptions. You see, life is a vapor, and we're here just for a little while, and then life vanishes away, right? In Proverbs chapter 27, in verse number 1, the scripture says, "Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth." Down where I work, last Friday was the end of the month. I'll get in there tomorrow and I'll start bugging the accountant guy. All right, how'd we do? You know, as soon as you get the numbers, it's over with and it starts again. As soon as you hit one budget, another one comes up. As soon as you hit one deadline, there's another one. And I've learned this, never to get too excited when it's good and never to get too upset when it's not. Because the truth is, it don't matter what it is today, it's going to change. See, a lot of times what people do is when it's good, they want to boast. All of a sudden, they find themselves in their self-confident presumption. In a position that when it's not good, they don't know how to deal with it. This man, what did he say? Look at the 14th and the 15th verse of James. It says, "Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away." But look at verse 15. It says, "For what ought ye to say?" He says, "If the Lord's will, we shall live and do this or that." Self-confident presumption is what you think you're going to do when God may have other plans. Go over to the book of Luke, chapter number 12. I want to read just a couple of verses in the 16th verse, down to the 20th verse, to give you an example of a man who is filled with self-confident presumption. In verse number 16, it says, speaking of Jesus, said, "He spake a parable unto them, saying, The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, What shall," and you can just underline the I's and the my's in this, "What shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said, This will I do, I will pull down my barns and build greater. There will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God." So we want to be careful to understand anything we do without the Lord is dangerous. But if we start to boast, what can I do to extend my life one day if God calls me? Nothing. Nothing. And I've been through that in my life to understand that if I'm where I am, it's because God allowed me to be there. And if I don't acknowledge that, God can show me who's boss anytime He gets ready. And the last is to beware of self-complacent procrastination. Go back to the book of James and look at verse 15 through verse number 17. It says, "For that ye ought to say, If the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now ye rejoice in your boastings, and all such rejoicing is evil. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is vain." See, procrastination, especially in the life of somebody who thinks, well, one day I'm going to give my life to the Lord. And you know, sometimes it's not just one day I'm going to give my life to the Lord, but one day, as a Christian, I'm going to be willing to follow God. Kind of like the song we sing, "Where He leads me, I will follow." Sometimes, You know, we want to see grandeur and people want to really have acclamation, when in reality, if you're following God right where you're at, that's grand. Because God has a plan, and by the way, history, it is His story. And He just allows us to be part of it. But if we decide today, I'm going to follow God, I'm going to be right with God, I'm going to do what God wants me to do, and put it off, because procrastination and thinking I'll do it later is a huge problem. See, the sin of omission or procrastination, it's a very deceptive and dangerous sin. When you're planning for eternity, the reason a person is not saved is because he has failed to do what he ought to do. In our lives as Christians, sometimes the reason we fail is we fail to do what we already know that we ought to do. And if God's moved in our heart, that's why the Scripture says, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. I've had people ask me, what do you think about? And you fill in the blank, and I just look at them, I don't even respond. You know why? Because the Holy Spirit has already spoke to their heart. I don't have to speak. And that's kind of the way it is when you open God's Word. When we read God's Word, it's plain. And there's something that the Holy Spirit that can do and does that I will never be able to do as a preacher or pastor in this church. I will never be able to speak in the place of the Holy Spirit. I was one time in a church and a pastor made a statement that it's one of those, Kendra grabs my arm before the songbook hits him right there. There's too many pastors out there that think they're in the place of the Holy Spirit. They're not. Folks, I can never take the place of the Holy Spirit in your life. I can never tell you what God is speaking to you about. But there was a person in the church that had a burden and a call, and they felt like God was calling them into a certain area of the ministry. And I heard them. I was standing. I don't know why God allows me sometimes to hear these things, but I was standing to the side, and I heard this person when they spoke to the pastor. And he just looked at them with a very curt and abrupt attitude. And he said, I don't have anything for what you're saying to me. Because if it was God's will for you to do it, He would have already told me about it before He told you. And I'm over there drawn up. Let me tell you, it takes God moving in your life. That's why the Scripture says so importantly, if we look at Romans 8:14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. That's why sometimes when people ask me a question, I already know that the Holy Spirit is moving in their life, and I just look at them and they know. God's already spoke to you, and God's speaking to people in this church about your life and what His plans are for you. And I believe with all my heart, even though I'm going to be honest, this scares me. God's plans are the best plans. What good would my plans be without His Spirit? And as a dad, and I mentioned, you know, what if one of my children came to me and said, Dad, I'm called to the mission field. I'm going to try to talk them out of it. That's my job as a dad, right? Hey. No. You see, what I don't want in anybody's life, in this church, in my children, in my family, is get in the place of the Holy Spirit when God is trying to do something and them go the wrong direction. See, people are lost. A lot of times, they just keep putting it off. You invited people to come? Oh, I'm going to come one day. One day I'm going to come. Well, what about what God's speaking to you about? I'm going to follow God one day. One day I'm not going to be afraid anymore. One day I'm not going to worry anymore. One day, you know, all of my finances are going to be in such a shape, kind of like this, when I get rich that I don't have any needs whatsoever, I'm going to follow God. Well, you never follow God. John chapter 3 and verse number 18 says, He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. So people are already condemned. Now what about our lives? If I'm planning and I'm planning for my home, it is the sin of omission that is why so many homes are falling apart. They're simply not doing what they ought to be doing. See, I believe with all my heart the first thing that I have to do in my home is be the man of God that I'm supposed to be. If I come in and I'm not godly and I don't act right and I don't do right and I don't love my kids and I don't treat my wife right and I'm not praying, I'm not seeking God, am I going to blame her? The only thing you have to do to harm your home is nothing. Nothing. Just do nothing. Just neglect to do what you ought to be doing. Now what about your church? The reason so many churches fail is due to the sin of omission. It's simply this. We neglect to do what we ought to be doing. See, what we ought to be doing is following God, walking in obedience, and sharing the Word of God with as many people as we possibly can. This morning I mentioned when I was talking about the cross, I said the cross demands that we kneel before it. But I think for Christians, the cross demands that we stand to our feet. And we share the Word of God with everyone that we can. And one thing that's in my heart, and I'm going to ask Brother Keith if you would just go ahead and get a verse of song in just a minute. We can play a song if you'd like. But what I think we ought to really be doing in church is looking at what God has given us and doing our very best to listen to His Holy Spirit to be good stewards of the blessings that we have. Now, I've been here a little over a year, and every time I come in this building, I'm going to be honest with you, I'm in awe of how good God is. I'm in awe of how God is blessing. I'm in awe of how God's Holy Spirit is moving. I'm in awe of how God is working in our young people. And what we ought to be doing as adults, and even young people, is doing our very best to listen to the Holy Spirit of God, asking God, who has infinite wisdom and infinite understanding, that as we make plans, that as we put together a budget, that as we move forward, that as we begin to do anything, that we're looking for His direction. And that's in my heart. We're going to sing one verse of song, ask you to rise to your feet this evening. As we sing this one verse of song, if anybody got anything you'd like to pray about, this is your opportunity. Thank you for coming tonight.